Money Show.
The Friday File.
The Friday File.
So, after a gloomy 3 days at the start of the week, wrecked by load shedding and doom and gloom and misery, my mood was considerably lifted. Not only the Gupta potential extradition and 100 megawatts of power by corporates and government getting rid of SAA, and plus today I got to spend time investigating a website of a company that makes women's sleepwear. The company is called Lilies and Lust, and the owner is Rebecca Harrison, who joins us online. And this is a classic case, Rebecca, of you looking at the environment, looking at the market of women's sleepwear, and a bit like many women I know, saying, I do not want to, as somebody in my 30s, 40s or 50s, be sleeping in pyjamas that have got Minnie Mouse on them. And the quality's often rubbish. And there was just a really big gap between the Minnie Mouse stuff and then the really expensive imported stuff. And you saw that gap and you've exploited it.
Yes, thank you, Bruce, for having me. So my initial idea for the business actually came from bridal wear when the ladies are getting ready for their weddings, because the photography of weddings has evolved in such a way that they take photo of every moment of the whole day, and the girls getting ready wanted to look pretty in their gowns or their pajamas, and it became a gift for the bridesmaids from the bride to say thank you for all that you've done. And from there, it evolved to something where the girls were going, well, I also want a pretty pair of pajamas. And I then thought, well, then we'll go online and we'll sell locally made things. I sourced the fabric locally, which obviously it is probably imported, all of it. But I have a seamstress and she works from my home and I employ her full time and she makes everything to the utmost beautiful quality. And we try our very best to make sure that everyone is happy with our product. Obviously, that's not always possible, but to our best, we make good quality products and we try to keep them affordable. And they are also designed for women who are not always in the best shape, feel confident
in them. You mean real human beings? You mean real human beings?
Real human beings.
And I mean, I was looking at your designs. I was looking at the fabric and I was just like, and I was looking at the patterns and stuff and going, thank goodness there's no Minnie Mouse, because it's offensive to so many women what is available in sort of the mainstream market. And that's why you say, so it's just you and a seamstress. I mean, and you've got this business with multiple designs and you're serving a market, just the two of you.
Exactly. That's it. And so we really have tried to cater to all women. So where we have women who request something different, I try and accommodate them where I can, where we have capacity to. I have lots of girls ordering for their moms because the actual fit and shape of the wear that we have is flattering. And we then also do cater to the bridesmaids and the brides and all walks of life. And the nice thing about the custom stuff for the bridesmaids and the brides is that they can then say to me, and with my own seamstress, they can say, well, can I have a long pair for this bridesmaid because she's not comfortable in shorts? And can I have a long gown for my mom? And can I have a short gown for myself? And we really try and make sure that each and every person feels comfortable in what they're wearing when it comes from us. And we try to make sure that our quality is always to the utmost perfect standard. One day I would really like to actually have this as my full-time thing.
But yeah, so we talk a lot about side hustles on The Money Show, and we've got Nick Haralambos, yes, who's helping people start side hustles. So this is your side hustle. You do have a day job.
Mm-hmm. I do have a day job. I'm currently actually on maternity leave, but my day job, I do work for a corporate organization. And then I just do this from home on the side.
I mean, and what was the motivation? Was it financial, or was it simply looking at the market and saying, this is such an open area, ready to exploit?
If I'm honest, Bruce, at this stage, I'm not drawing a single cent from the company. No. I have tried my best just to re-put the money back into it. Because I have my day job, I can afford to put the money back into it. I've kept my seamstress going. I mean, through lockdown and everything, obviously she couldn't come in. She went home to Mpumalanga, kept her going through lockdown. And so the motivation behind it was I got married. I ordered some gowns for my business. they arrived, they had the wrong names embroidered on the wrong sizes, and the response from the organization was, well, we're really sorry, but we can't exchange them if you've done custom wear and you've had them embroidered. And I was like, but you embroidered them wrong. So I saw a gap from there. I saw a stress I could take off brides, where I could provide a service where they can get something pretty, they can... For a lot of my brides, I don't. So I've got my website where I have my website stock, where like it's obviously I make that up, pre-make it, photograph and put it up, and what's on there is what we have. But for the brides, I go and I shop for them particularly. So they will send me their color scheme, and if they're floral girls or if they're like a funky pattern, and I will go and I'll shop and I'll take a photo of a bunch of different fabrics that I feel is fitting to the description that they've sent me. And then I will send them those photos. They'll pick whichever one they like, and we will then manufacture whether they want a gown or pajamas. And as okay. I said, long, short, however they want it.
How do you get custom, the sizing right? Because sizing is so difficult. I mean, do you ask people to take measurements? There are lots of websites selling, you know, tailor-made shirts and things, and they ask you some incredibly basic questions, yeah. And apparently it's incredibly effective in terms of getting the sizing right. You might have to measure your neck measurement for a shirt or whatever. I haven't measured myself for women's nightwear, but how do you get the sizing? How do you get the sizing right? Because you really don't want to insult your best friend on your wedding day and say, "Here's some pajamas," and 100%. You know they fall off.
Exactly. So for me, what I do say is, I have based all my sizes on myself. I am a stock standard medium size 10/34 in Woolworths, Cotton On, Mr. Price, all the major retailers. And then the sizing itself is a standard grading system. So you upsize to large based on a certain number of centimeters. I have a pattern maker, and when she does the sizing, if the medium fits me perfectly, then she adds the recommended number of centimeters to make a large and an extra large. When a girl asks me, well, I have a bridesmaid and I'm not quite sure she's medium or large, then I say to her, well, rather go for the large, because we have a drawstring in our shorts, so she can put it smaller if she wants to. And her shirt, I mean, to have a bit of a bigger shirt is not an issue. And then at least we know that she's going to be comfortable on the day, because we'd rather give her a bigger size than a smaller size. And if anything, she can just say, the website said their size is on the small side, so I'd rather order you a big one. I also have a lot of brides asking me, so-and-so is going to be pregnant and I don't know what to do. So then I say the same, rather order the upsize and she can have a drawstring, and most of our stuff is great for breastfeeding too. So that works.
What is going to get you to chuck in the day job without upsetting your corporate boss, and you're on maternity leave and all of these sorts of things, and you can't argue your case? But what's going to get you to say, you know what, I need to get 6 seamstresses, I need to take this online very, very seriously, I actually need to get into physical retail, whatever the case might be? What's going to be the catalyst?
I think at this point it's capital. So I started with a baseline of capital, and I've just been putting that back into the business to grow it, so that I've got now a big set of patterns and a lot of stock that I can do. And I've bought my machines. So my seamstress has industrial machinery to work with to help her work faster. I think it's just building up that capital base that I can say, right, now I can draw a salary out of the business. Because unfortunately, as a lot of great corporates do, which I do work for a really great corporate, I have great benefits. And the great benefits include medical aid for my whole family and a really great farm class. So there's a lot of things that I can't just jump out and say, well, yeah, no, I'm not a bank.
I'm teasing.
A lot of the things like that actually, it keeps me there. And I do enjoy my day job. So it's something that I've got 2 little children now, and when they get to the point where my husband's business is growing enough that he can support me just for that little, you know, and I can actually draw a bit of income from the business and sustain the seamstresses who are working for me, then I'll be able to jump. But at this stage, I'm quite happy with it plodding along as it is, growing it nice and slowly. I've got the time to do that.
Fantastic. Rebecca, thanks for the chat. Really enjoyed chatting to you this evening. Rebecca Harrison.